we shouldn't worry about situations arising where we don't know what to do because we're in such a, confounded situation, where we're in trouble and we don't know what we can do. That's normal for Jehovah to deliver his servants out of those situations. You know, the wrong thing is to panic. The wrong thing is to react too quickly. But to accept the discipline from Jehovah and try to move when the path is revealed in the direction that Jehovah indicates. Our study for today, welcome. It's December 16th, 2023 of the Common Era, and the time is 1553 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you again. We're studying the Crucible of Credible Creed, Chapter 2, Paragraph 4. This is fascinating. Manetho, an Egyptian who lived at nearly the 3rd century before the Common Era, wrote a history, an history of Egypt, which is important even now. His and other king lists for Egypt are examples of methods that give relative dates for different pharaohs. And these methods also include the excavation of on-site soil layers. Those are some of the different methods, right? The king lists, the on-site soil layers. The chronology established by relative dating as connected to astronomy is seemingly strong. So astronomy is another method, such as the rising of Sothis, for example, which we discussed during the reign of Amenhotep I, for example. And this chronology connected to astronomy is seemingly strong, as indicated by reaction to a recent radiocarbon dating of the Thera eruption. That's a volcano that erupted, which happened many years ago. At the time of these ancient events, sometime around 1500 BCE or thereabouts. It's under debate, though, because the radiocarbon date suggested a date 100 years earlier than had previously been thought. An archaeologist named Peter Warren of the University of Bristol in the UK replying, "This chronology has been constructed by hundreds of expert Egyptologists over many decades. There are no current grounds for thinking that the Egyptian historical chronology could be out by more than a few years." End of quote. And that shows how confident the Egyptian archaeologists are with regard to their chronology, because it's been constructed, you know, painstakingly over many years and using many different methods, such as astronomy, as well as soil examination of the layers of the soil, and as well as, just to mention the ones that we just covered here, the king lists, right? It lists the different kings of Egypt. All of these things are factored into this chronology that is, it's not just calculated, it's chronology that's assembled, or it's a chronology that's established over decades of research. Okay, so that's the end of our study of the Crucible article for today. We've got a lot to cover. Ecclesiastes 7 and 10, little children, is our proverb for today. Do not say, why has it happened that the former days proved to be better than these? For it is not due to wisdom that you have asked about this. Very important principle, because the time wasted in asking that question is time that could have been used to find the solution to making the days, which are these days, the best they can possibly be, and in solving the problems that we face in these very days in which we find ourselves today. 2 Samuel 15. And it came about following such things. What were the such things? Well, Absalom was brought back by David. And it was in, that's what happened, wasn't it, in chapter 14? Right. And now in verse chapter 15, verse 1, and it came about following such things that Absalom proceeded to have a chariot made for himself with horses and with 50 men running before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood at the side of the road to the gate. And it came about when any man happened to have a legal case to come to the king for judgment, then Absalom would call him and say, "From what city are you?" And he would say, "From one of the tribes of Israel, your servant is." And Absalom would say to him, "See, your matters are good and straight, but there is no one from the king giving you a hearing." And Absalom would go on to say, "Oh, that I were appointed judge in the land, that to me every man might come that happens to have a legal case or judgment, then I should certainly do justice to him." It also occurred that when a man drew near to bow down to him, he thrust his hand out and grabbed hold of him and kissed him. And Absalom kept doing a thing like this to all Israelites that would come in for judgment to the king. And Absalom kept stealing the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came about at the end of 40 years that Absalom proceeded to say to the king, "Let me go, please, and pay in Hebron my vow that I solemnly made to Jehovah. For your servant made a solemn vow when I was dwelling in Geshur in Syria, saying, 'If Jehovah will without fail bring me back to Jerusalem, I must also render service to Jehovah.'" So the king said to him, "Go in peace." With that he rose up and went to Hebron. Absalom now sent spies through all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, you must also say, 'Absalom has become king in Hebron.'" Now there had gone with Absalom 200 men from Jerusalem, being called and going unsuspectingly, and they did not know a single thing. Further, when he offered the sacrifices, Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city Gilo. And the conspiracy kept getting stronger, and the people were continually growing in number with Absalom. In time, an informer came to David, saying, "The heart of the men of Israel has come to be behind Absalom." At once David said to all his servants that were with him in Jerusalem, "Get up and let us run away, for there will prove to be no escaping for us because of Absalom. Go hurriedly, for fear he may hurry up and actually catch up with us and bring down upon us what is bad and strike the city with the edge of the sword." At this the king's servant said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king may choose, here are your servants." So the king went out with all his household at his feet, and the king left 10 women, concubines, to take care of the house. And the king continued on his way out with all the people at his feet, and they came to a stop at Beth-Merhak. And all his servants were crossing at his side, and all the Kerethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men that had followed him from Gath, were crossing before the king's face. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why should you yourself also go with us? Go back and dwell with the king, for you are a foreigner, and besides you are an exile from your place. Yesterday was when you came, and today shall I make you wander with us to go when I am going, wherever I am going? Go back and take your brothers back with you, and may Jehovah exercise toward you loving kindness and trustworthiness." But Ittai answered the king and said, "As Jehovah is living, and as my lord the king is living, in the place where my lord the king may come to be, whether for death or for life, there is where your servant will come to be." At that David said to Ittai, "Go and cross over." So Ittai the Gittite crossed over, and also all his men and all the little ones that were with him. And all the people of the land were weeping with a loud voice, and all the people were crossing over, and the king was standing by the torrent valley of Kidron, and all the people were crossing over upon the open road to the wilderness. And here also there were Zadok, and with him all the Levites carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the true God. And they proceeded to set the Ark of the true God down by Abiathar until all the people completed crossing over from the city. But the king said to Zadok, "Take the Ark of the true God back to the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of Jehovah, he will also certainly bring me back and let me see it and its abiding place. But if this is what he should say, 'I have found no delight in you,' here I am, let him do to me just as it is good in his eyes. And the king went on to say to Zadok the priest, "You are a seer, are you? Do return to the city in peace, and also Ahimaaz, your son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the two sons of you, men with you. See, I am lingering by the fords of the wilderness until word comes from you men to inform me." Accordingly, Zadok and Abiathar took the Ark of the True God back to Jerusalem, and they continued to dwell there. And David was going up by the ascent of the Olives, weeping as he went up, with his head covered, and he was walking barefoot, and all the people that were with him covered each one his head. And they went up weeping as they went up. And to David the report was made, saying, "Ahithophel himself is among those conspiring with Absalom." At this David said, "Turn, please, the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, O Jehovah." And it came about that when David himself came to the summit where people used to bow down to God, here to meet him was Hushai the Archite, with his robe ripped apart and dirt upon his head. However, David said to him, "If you actually went across with me, you would then certainly become a load upon me. But if you return to the city and you actually say to Absalom, 'I am your servant, O king. I used to prove myself the servant of your father, even I at that time. But now, even I am your servant,' you must then frustrate the counsel of Ahithophel for me. Are not Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, there with you? And it must occur that everything that you may hear from the house of the king you should tell to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests. Look, there with them are their two sons, Ahimaaz belonging to Zadok, and Jonathan belonging to Abiathar. And by means of them, you men must send to me everything that you may hear." So Hushai, David's companion, came into the city. As for Absalom, he proceeded to come into Jerusalem. It's the end of 2 Samuel 15. So David sent back some of his faithful ones back to the city where Absalom was going to be himself, so they could report on it to David. Jeremiah chapter 50. The word that Jehovah spoke concerning Babylon, concerning the land of the Chaldeans, by means of Jeremiah the prophet. "Tell it among the nations, and publish it, and lift up a signal. Publish it. Hide nothing, O men. Say, Babylon has been captured. Bel has been put to shame. Merodach has become terrified." Sometimes Marduk is another form of Merodach, another word meaning the same thing, a name. "Her images have been put to shame. Her dungy idols have become terrified. For against her a nation has come up from the north. It is the one that makes her land an object of astonishment, so that there proves to be no one dwelling in her. Both man and domestic animal have taken flight. They have gone away. In those days, and at that time, is the utterance of Jehovah, the sons of Israel, they and the sons of Judah together, will come. They will walk, weeping as they walk, and for Jehovah their God they will seek. To Zion they will keep asking the way with their faces in that direction, saying, 'Come and let us join ourselves to Jehovah in an indefinitely lasting covenant that will not be forgotten.' A flock of perishing creatures my people has become. Their own shepherds have caused them to wander about. On the mountains they have led them away. From mountain to hill they have gone. They have forgotten their resting place. All those finding them have eaten them up. And their own adversaries have said, 'We shall not become guilty due to the fact that they have sinned against Jehovah, the abiding place of righteousness, and the hope of their forefathers, Jehovah. Take your flight out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth even out of the land of the Chaldeans, and become like the leading animals before the flock. For here I am arousing and bringing up against Babylon a congregation of great nations from the land of the north, and they will certainly array themselves against her. From there she will be captured. One's arrows are like those of a mighty man, causing bereavement of children, who does not come back without results. And Chaldea must become a spoil. All those making spoil of her will satisfy themselves, is the utterance of Jehovah. For you men kept rejoicing, for you men kept exulting when pillaging my own inheritance. For you kept pawing like a heifer in the tender grass, and you kept neighing like stallions. The mother of you men has become very much ashamed. She that gave you birth has been disappointed. Look, She is the least important of the nations, a waterless wilderness and a desert plain. Because of the indignation of Jehovah, she will not be inhabited, and she must become a desolate waste in her entirety. As for anyone passing along by Babylon, he will stare in astonishment and whistle on account of all her plagues. Array yourself against Babylon on every side. All you who are treading the bow, shoot at her. Spare no arrow, for it is against Jehovah that she has sinned. Shout a war cry against her on every side. She has given her hand. Her pillars have fallen. Her walls have been torn down. For it is the vengeance of Jehovah. Take your vengeance on her, just as she has done due to her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and the one handling the sickle in the time of harvest. Because of the maltreating sword, they will turn each one to his own people, and they will flee each one to his own land. Israel is a scattered sheep. Lions themselves have done the dispersing. In the first instance, the king of Assyria has devoured him, and in this latter instance, Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, has gnawed on his bones. Therefore, this is what Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, has said. Here I am turning my attention upon the king of Babylon and upon his land in the same way that I turned my attention upon the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel back to his pasture ground, and he will certainly graze on Carmel and on Bashan and in the mountainous region of Ephraim and of Gilead. His soul will be satisfied. And in those days and at that time is the utterance of Jehovah. The error of Israel will be searched for, but it will not be, and the sins of Judah, and they will not be found, for I shall forgive those whom I let remain. Against the land of Merathaim, come up against her and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Let there be a massacre and a devoting to destruction close upon them is the utterance of Jehovah, and do according to all that I have commanded you. There is the sound of war in the land and a great breakdown. Oh, how the forge hammer of all the earth has been cut down and gets broken. Oh, how Babylon has become a mere object of astonishment among the nations. I have laid a snare for you, and you also have been caught, O Babylon, and you yourself did not know it. You were found and also taken hold of, for it was against Jehovah that you excited yourself. Jehovah has opened his storehouse, and he brings forth the weapons of his denunciation. For there is a work that the sovereign Lord Jehovah of armies has in the land of the Chaldeans. Come into her from the farthest part. Open up her granaries. Bank her up, just like those making heaps, and devote her to destruction. May she not come to have any remaining ones. Massacre all her young bulls. May they go down to the slaughter. Woe to them, for their day has come, the time for their being given attention. There's the sound of those fleeing and those escaping from the land of Babylon to tell out in Zion the vengeance of Jehovah our God, the vengeance for his temple. Summon against Babylon archers, all who are treading the bow. Encamp against her all around. May there prove to be no escapees. Pay back to her according to her activity, according to all that she has done due to her. For it is against Jehovah that she has acted presumptuously, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore her young men will fall in her public squares, and even all her men of war will be brought to silence in that day, is the utterance of Jehovah. Look, I am against you, O presumptuousness, is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah of armies, for your day must come, the time that I must give you attention. And presumptuousness will certainly stumble and fall. And it will have no one to cause it to rise up. And I will set a fire ablaze in its cities, and it must devour all its surroundings. This is what Jehovah of armies has said. The sons of Israel and the sons of Judah are being oppressed together, and all those taking them captive have laid hold on them. They have refused to let them go. Their repurchaser is strong. Jehovah of armies being his name, without fail he will conduct their legal case in order that he may actually give repose to the land and cause agitation to the inhabitants of Babylon. There is a sword against the Chaldeans, is the utterance of Jehovah, and against the inhabitants of Babylon, and against her princes, and against her wise ones. There is a sword against the empty talkers, and they will certainly act foolishly. There is a sword against her mighty men, and they will actually become terrified. There is a sword against their horses, and against their war chariots, and against all the mixed company that are in the midst of her, and they will certainly become women. There is a sword against her treasures, and they will actually be plundered. There is a devastation upon her waters, and they must be dried up, for it is a land of graven images, and because of their frightful visions, they keep acting crazy. Therefore, the haunters of waterless regions will dwell with the howling animals, and in her the ostriches must dwell, and she will never more be dwelt in, nor will she reside for generation after generation. Just as with God's overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and of her neighbor towns is the utterance of Jehovah, no man will dwell there, nor will the son of mankind reside in her as an alien. Look, a people is coming in from the north, and the great nation and grand kings themselves will be roused up from the remotest parts of the earth. Bow and javelin they handle. They are cruel and will show no mercy. The sound of them is like the sea that is boisterous, and upon horses they will ride, set in array as one man for war against you, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon has heard the report about them, and his hands have dropped down. There is distress. Severe pains have seized hold of him, just like a woman giving birth. Look, someone will come up, just like a lion from the proud thickets along the Jordan to the durable abiding place. But in a moment I shall make them run away from her. And the one who is chosen I shall appoint over her. For who is like me, and who will challenge me, and who now is the shepherd that can stand before me? Therefore hear, O men, the counsel of Jehovah that he has formulated against Babylon, and his thoughts that he has thought out against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the little ones of the flock will be dragged about. Surely on account of them he will cause their abiding place to be desolated. At the sound, when Babylon has been seized, the earth will certainly be set rocking, and among the nations an outcry itself be heard. That's the end of Jeremiah 50. When we saw earlier something about a lion here, I thought there was, which I noticed here in my reading. I didn't notice it in the preparation. Let's see. Presumptuousness, right? It says, will certainly stumble and fall. We've got to keep moving on. The lion, okay. Well, the lion is something. I wanted to find this word lion here, but we've got to finish our reading. And maybe we could study it. We can revisit anything if we, you know, come back to it on a day when we don't have as much reading. But Matthew 24, departing now, Jesus was on his way from the temple, little children, but his disciples approached to show him the buildings of the temple. In response, he said to them, do you not behold all these things? Truly I say to you, by no means will a stone be left here upon a stone and not be thrown down. While he was sitting upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your presence and of the conclusion of the system of things? In answer, Jesus said to them, look out that nobody misleads you, for many will come on the basis of my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You are going to hear of wars and reports of wars. See that you are not terrified, for these things must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be food shortages and earthquakes in one place after another. All these things are a beginning of pangs of distress. Then people will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be objects of hatred by all the nations on account of my name. Then also, many will be stumbled and will betray one another and will hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and mislead many, and because of the increasing of lawlessness, the love of the greater number will cool off. But he that has endured to the end is the one that will be saved. And this good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the inhabited earth for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you catch sight of the disgusting thing that causes desolation, as spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in a holy place, let the reader use discernment. Then let those in Judea begin fleeing to the mountains. Let the man on the housetop not come down to take the goods out of his house, and let the man in the field not return to the house to pick up his outer garment. Woe to the pregnant women and those suckling a baby in those days. Keep praying that your flight may not occur in winter time, nor on the Sabbath day, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not occurred since the world's beginning until now. No, nor will occur again. In fact, unless those days were cut short, no flesh would be saved, but on account of the chosen ones, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will give great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the chosen ones. Look, I have forewarned you. Therefore, if people say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Look, he is in the inner chambers, do not believe it. For just as the lightning comes out of eastern parts and shines over to western parts, so the presence of the Son of Man will be wherever the carcass is. There the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will beat themselves in lamentation, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet sound, and they will gather his chosen ones together from the four winds, from one extremity of the heavens to their other extremity. Now learn from the fig tree as an illustration this point. Just as soon as its young branch grows tender, and it puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Likewise, also you, when you see all these things, know that he is near at the doors. Truly I say to you that this generation will by no means pass away until all these things occur. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Concerning that day and hour, nobody knows, neither the angels of the heavens nor the Son, but only the Father. For just as the days of Noah were, so the presence of the Son of Man will be. For as they were in those days before the flood, eating and drinking, men marrying and women being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they took no note until the flood came and swept them all away, so the presence of the Son of Man will be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken along and the other be abandoned. Two women will be grinding at the handmill. One will be taken along and the other be abandoned. Keep on the watch, therefore, because you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know one thing, that if the householder had not, if he had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have kept awake and not allowed his house to be broken into. On this account, you too prove yourselves ready, because at an hour that you do not think to be it, the Son of Man is coming. Who really is the faithful and discreet slave whom his master appointed over his domestics to give them their food at the proper time? Happy is that slave if his master on arriving finds him doing so. Truly I say to you, he will appoint him over all his belongings. But if ever that evil slave should say in his heart, my master is delaying, and should start to beat his fellow slaves and should eat and drink with the confirmed drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day that he does not expect, and in an hour that he does not know, and will punish him with the greatest severity, and will assign him his part with the hypocrites. There is where his weeping and the gnashing of his teeth will be. That's the end of Matthew chapter 24, the great prophecy about the end of times, and even of the destruction of the temple, which is the end of those times of the Jewish temple worship. And a very important time, because Jesus said there would never again be another destruction that would come like that. But of course, that's one fulfillment of that prophecy, of course, of the end times, which we also, as Christians, know. Well, we know that Jesus is coming on the clouds in the final times, which are the times which perhaps are the same times in which we are living. But as Jesus said in verse 36, concerning that day and hour, nobody knows. So we don't really know when the day will be. But also he says, with regarding the householder, and I read this wrong, I apologize, if the householder had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have kept awake and not allowed his house to be broken into. Right? It's true. You wouldn't, you know, say, well, I know the thief is coming at 4 p.m., therefore I'm going to leave before then, so I won't be here when the thief is here. That's not the way you do that, because thieves normally are not, I mean, a thief is a thief. He's not a person who's interested in confrontation. He's interested in doing something in secret, taking things in secret. So if you knew when the thief was coming and you stayed home during that time, the thief wouldn't be able to do anything, because he doesn't work when there are people around. So that's how that illustration works. We're just about at the end of our study. We did cover a lot of information. It's very interesting that the governing body has an update now on JW.org. And it's the first time in the modern day when they've made a statement regarding beards and the growth of a beard, or the presence of a beard, the use, or the what's the word for it? The wearing of a beard, you call it, on a man. So if a man chooses to wear a beard, and I think there's no question that it's perfectly, unquestionable, or there's no reason to question an announcement regarding beards, and I'll say why I think that. The reason is because there are many people in modern society who believe that that men should be clean shaven, and that when a man is not clean shaven, people believe generally. Many people believe in modern society that a man who is not clean shaven is not, or they have up until now, they've believed that a man who's not clean shaven is not really prepared or not acceptable in society. You know, it's just not. That's been a belief for many, many years. And of course, it's been changing gradually, perhaps over time, but because there have been people who have been sporting, you know, a few days' growth on their faces for some time in many different professions. So it's not an untimely thing that they should make an announcement about that now. It's very noteworthy. And also, now we're at the end of our study and our video, and it's December 16th, 2023 of the Common Era. The time is 16:25 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you. And this is now, on my behalf, my beautiful watch. Beautiful, beautiful watch. Gully, beautiful watch. And it's just a manual wind-up watch. It doesn't have any automatic function like Crow does. And this is also Casio, my Casio digital watch, on my behalf, saying bye for now.